It is Mike Wimacher joined by Johnny Molson. Good morning, sir.
What mood, by the way? Should I have a mood?
No. Okay. Apparently, I did, though. I had to take a deep breath. I was getting a little worked up at the end of last hour.
Yeah.
With the fact that I had to go to a DMV and take the test.
Yeah, it was kind of a pedestrian rant there.
Yeah, it was.
But I understand. There is that sense of this is going to be a half-day project. And anytime I've gone lately, it's been pretty smooth.
I assume it will be, too.
You'll be fine.
Even before the appointment thing, you know, everyone always dreaded it. But for the most part, it ran pretty efficiently. I can't really complain. So, yeah, that was a pedestrian. You're right.
Sorry.
Pedestrian.
Right.
Not my best rant ever.
It's okay.
So I'll
sometimes you're just standing there in the grocery line saying, why don't they open another lane?
That's one thing. Over the years, that's one thing I don't complain about as much. But I see it more and more from everybody else. Of like the people that get really upset when the self-checkout lanes are shut down for like an update.
Right.
And then now they're like, ugh, now I got to go and interact with people and I can't run my own. This is the worst ever. Or there's always that guy or the individual who is trying to almost pretend like it's rush hour traffic, thinking that if they merge into the other lane, it's going to be faster. And then they get upset when the other move. It's ridiculous. Do you choose lanes, by the way, when you have to actually go through and interact with people on who you think is more efficient as a checker? Or do you just got to go pick one and stay with it?
I don't put too much thought into it. I mean, I will kind of look ahead and go, oh, man, that person is just loaded down with groceries. This is going to take a minute and maybe find another. That's about all the thought I put into it. But see, look, I understand going to the grocery store. I think of the time spent at the grocery store as an entire sphere of time.
Yes.
I think what people think is I have all the groceries I need in my cart. I should be able to leave now.
That's not.
There's always going to be an extra, you know, it's 10 minutes or something. It's never as long as you think it's going to be. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a weird thing to get upset about.
I've learned from you over the years when it comes to me. Normally, I'm a self-checkout person now, but on those rare occasions where I have too much even for the self-checkout, where even I would be like, this is pushing it. I would be making people mad behind me. I look for the interaction of the cashier. Mm. If they're overly talkative, I know that I will be in that line longer.
Is that too much of a temptation for you?
Well, no. I know that, much like you were saying, I have my groceries.
Right.
The grocery part of grocery shopping is done. Now it's expediency to get out of there. So when I look to see who's interacting with the shopper more, because I know that then in turn makes it a longer turnover process of when checking. So I go for the one that is just focused, getting you in and out, and they don't want to talk to anyone.
Dude, I'm at the store the other day, and it was one of those run-in, get-out quick things. And so I go up to the counter, put my stuff up there. Guy scans it, and then he looks at me, and he goes, $1,498. And I just kind of give him, you know, a Johnny Molson side eye.
Yeah.
And he goes, or $24.92, whichever you prefer. I nod, boop my...
Yeah, boy, he was really trying to work out that material. You gave him nothing.
He's not done yet.
Oh, okay.
I boop my card, receipt comes out in the bag. He goes, thanks a lot. Merry Christmas.
What?
Another side eye.
What is this guy doing?
My bag. He just goes, you have a safe day now. It's like, that was entirely too much conversation. And yeah, hey, Jimmy Fallon, settle down there, pal.
I'll give him...
You got a whole show to do tonight.
Right, exactly. Don't waste all your A material
don't
on me.
Don't peak early.
Yeah, exactly. The Merry Christmas thing is what bugs me more than the $1,048 thing.
You don't have to strike up a conversation.
No, you don't.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Right, that's all you need
to
do.
How you doing? Good.
Find everything okay?
Yeah.
Well, I guess because I have things in my cart.
Right. And that's the worst time for them to ask you, did you find everything? It's like, well, I'm here now.
Sometimes I make the terrible... joke.
No, I was looking for a bald eagle. You got one of those?
Or I'll go, well, apparently so, and more, is what I'll say at times. And that gets a little bit more like, sir, you don't have to be so harsh. I'm just trying to make small talk. So.
Oh, I wanted to strangle that guy.
Yeah.
Just absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Put all this back. I'm going to go to the next store and start all over again.
You know what? I would like my $1,048 back now, having to put up with these shenanigans.
Just don't. There's no.
No.
People think that I'm being rude when I say I don't want to engage in this small talk. And it's not. It's just I just want to do my thing. It's like, hello, how are you? I'm good. Boop boop.
Yeah,
and I'm gone.
Yeah, you're not being rude. If it was just a regular,
we're not going to become friends.
No,
we're not going to go see a movie or anything like that.
No, exactly.
I know this going in. You know this going in. Don't talk to me.
I don't need your open mic night.
God Almighty.
I had when I took my car in, I humored the individual a little bit more because he was a nice enough guy. But I take the car in just for an oil change. I pull up. Hey, what can we do for you today? Or I pull. You go, what's the name? Give the name because once again I had to set an appointment. And he goes, oh yeah, you're here for the full engine replacement.
Come on.
And I'm like,
stop.
And I was like, okay. And he's like, I'm like, well, you know, you have to break up the mundaneness of the day or whatever. So I appreciate it. And he laughed a little bit, but I was like, no, I didn't need that.
The one thing that absolutely is my last straw, and my daughters know this when we're out to dinner and they almost wait for it to happen and they're excited about it when it does. Is if a waiter calls me either chief or boss.
Oh, my dad hated that.
It's like, we don't know each other well enough to be saying, we're not at the nickname part of our relationship yet.
That was the one thing I remember. Yes. My old man, when he went through his quintuple bypass, he refused to order a meal because there was a kid that worked there that would come and be like, hey, where do you want to put this, boss?
Oh,
can I set this up for you, boss?
Yeah.
How you liking this, boss? And he's like, go check the cafeteria.
Oh.
And he's like, if that guy's working, I do not want any food because I don't want to deal. I'm like, but you need to
it's
eat.
The worst.
He's like, I don't care. I don't want boss guy coming.
Yeah.
So yeah, he had no use for that either. What is your take on overuse of sweetie?
Sometimes that
throws me for a loop a little bit when they're like, "How you doing, sweetie?" Oh, you know, "How you have a good one, sweetie?" It takes me a second.
Yeah, yeah, and this is getting harder and harder. But she has to be a lot older than me.
Yes.
Because I have had like 24-year-olds saying, "How you doing, sweetie?" It's like, that was
that makes me feel uncomfortable.
That was like one step away from saying "daddy." I didn't like that at all.
Here, let me introduce. Hey, boss, come over here. Let me introduce you to sweetie over here. You guys will make a great couple.
I don't like this at all.
No, this is a little weird. It is Mike Molson with you here on WMAY. We'll take our first break at 7 o'clock hour. We come back. The internet has opinions about what you should do when it comes to the first reveal of your wedding.
Okay.
Seeing.
Easy.
Settle down. Don't need to be that worked up on a Friday. It's Mike Molson with you on this Friday, March 15th. 217-629-7970 is the phone number.
Beware.
Yes, beware. Here's what happened. You know how big of an idiot I am? For some reason, I thought all day Wednesday, I was just so confidently saying, oh, it's the Ides of March. It's March 13th. That means Ides of March, everything else. and so I was talking like, look at me. I'm learned at Tu Brute. And then I get a message from one of our fantastic listeners. And they so eloquently said, I think Ides of March is the 15th.
Yeah.
And immediately I checked. I'm like, yep, I'm an idiot. So yes, beware today, the Ides of March, March 15th at Tu Brute. At least I know that part.
Yes.
So I got that right.
The steps where Caesar was stabbed is now a cat sanctuary that we visited when we were in Rome. It's really kind of wild. They've got this place where they unearthed a lot of the ruins,
right,
and
yeah,
everything. And there are just feral cats walking around, and and underneath the street is a clinic where they take care of these cats and take care of them and give them medicine and put them back out into the wild.
What an interesting...
Yeah, it's crazy.
By the way, those
steps over there is where Caesar got stabbed in the back.
The Ides of March and everything else is right here. But can I interest you in a... Can you adopt them? Or are they
cool,
just like they take them in?
You can adopt them, yeah.
How many of those cats? Maybe Italians...
It's kind of badass, right? I mean, if you're a cat from the steps where Caesar
got
stabbed.
Right, but what I was going to say is maybe Italians aren't as predictable as us Americans because... I feel like if you adopt a cat from there, how many of those cats are named either Julius or Caesar?
Oh, sure.
Going out of there because of where they're adopted from.
Or Brute.
Or Brute as well. So But thank you for that interesting fact. That's kind of some wild stuff here.
Yeah.
Was going to get into this wedding thing, but
Now you want to talk about Caesar?
Yeah, no.
Let's talk about Roman history.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk Roman history here.
You know how men are about the Roman Empire?
Well, we got the news coming up here in about 5 minutes. Okay. No, I was going to talk about, traditions. Obviously, here in Springfield, a big one is this Saturday.
Yes.
And just how wild it is of the St. Patrick's Day parade. Do you have a favorite memory of that parade? Because there's been a lot over the years. I remember my first time experiencing, I thought, coming from, the Quad Cities, and I grew up around Chicago, I'm like, how big can this actually be? And I remember walking out onto that parade route for the first time going, this is way more than I expected.
Because we've always experienced it from the parade route.
Correct.
Not from the throngs of the people watching the parade. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen it from the other side, now that I think about it, because
the
radio stations would be involved and everything. And it is, I don't think you can appreciate from the crowd how horrifying that is to be surrounded on both sides by hundreds, thousands of people who are pressing
Beads!
In. Yeah,
yes.
it's like a zombie movie.
I mean,
they are pressing in, and you've only got one way out. And and they're screaming for beads, and then children are running under your tires.
Yes.
I mean, it ages a person.
It does, and that's when I had to. The one year that I had to drive one of the vehicles in the parade was the most white-knuckle experience. And I had to drive all the way from Chicago back to here in a blizzard one time. But that was the most white-knuckle because, to your point, you don't know who's going to dart out. You don't. Now, I will say,
and you're going 4 miles an hour tops. You know,
yes, I mean,
it's not a big deal. But it is so crazy.
I will say, in the defense of the Springfieldians, it encroaches, but it never gets overbearing.
No,
there's never been an issue or anything like that that's organized chaos in a way.
Yeah, no, it's
for the most part.
It's always very orderly down there. They've got the thing down to a science. But it just is. It's a crazy sight from inside.
It is from inside of it, and also I always enjoyed. So after that 1 year of where I had to drive the vehicle, I said never again.
Yeah.
I don't have the nerves for it. I don't have the patience for
crazy.
It. I'm out. No, thank you. I will do the walking, whatever it may be. And I always prided myself, and this is the dumbest, sometimes you get proud of stupid accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest accomplishment during the parade was always getting the people who are standing on the stairs at the Alamo, or getting the second story of Floyd's windows, getting those people beads.
Yep.
That was always my personal point of pride, was I'm the one that got you those beads. I got to show off the guns here from my playing days from back in the day. That was always a goal of mine, to make sure everyone back there got the beads.
And it doesn't matter how many boxes of beads we purchased.
There's never enough.
They were gone by the time we got to 6th Street.
Oh, I always feel sorry for the
people.
Because I helped emcee the parade last year. You were unable to help out. But I did it. And it's at the finish line, there's hardly anyone there because they realize you're not going to get anything because everybody's out of stuff to give away by the time they get to the finish
line.
That's
where the kids are, where you...
Yeah, exactly.
That's where the kids are, and you give it away to all the drunkards and the hordes.
I remember, didn't one of the stations we work at had the world's smallest float that one time?
That. Yeah, 1 year we attached a small wagon to the back of a Prius.
Oh, okay.
and it was the world's smallest float. It was a little Red Ryder wagon.
I remember 1 year we attempted a legendary broadcaster that's been on these airways before, one Ray Lytle.
Mm-hmm.
We attempted to make him look like a Macy's Thanksgiving Day balloon. And it didn't work out well. Instead, it looked like...
It was a brilliant idea.
We wanted it
just ended up looking sad.
Right.
It was so sad.
Because we wanted to make him look like... He was in on the bit. He was in on the bit, but it ended up... We ended up with a gurney, instead. And instead of him like laying down on his stomach the whole time, he's like, oh, my back's going to give out in that situation. So it ended up looking like an Iditarod race, like we were his mush dogs, because we still had the strings. And I pushed him the entire parade route.
We tied strings to Ray to make him look like he was a balloon.
It would have been a great bit, but we couldn't pull it off correctly.
But it didn't. but instead of it, yeah, we just, it wasn't engineered right where he was up higher, so he looked like a balloon. It did. It looked like there were five people dragging this poor man on a gurney. It's like, what happened to him?
Right. It looked more.
Do we need to get an ambulance? Is he okay?
It looked more like he had escaped from the downtown hospitals. And a deranged man had entered into the parade and walked the entire route. Because we had nothing to throw out.
He can't walk. We'll just pull him along.
It was absolutely ridiculous. In the best way possible.
It was.
And the time we were on the flatbed broadcasting live from within the parade. With some of the past hosts here, that was another interesting one as well. We did a live like Man Cave.
Yeah, was it Neil Williamson that used to throw hot dogs?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
I used to love that.
Oh, that was fantastic.
The sheriff would have a grill on a float, and he would throw hot dogs. And they were good hot dogs.
They were, and he was smart. He knew all the people needed the food to soak up all the alcohol. So enjoy yourself on Saturday.
It'll be a good time.
Exactly. Be responsible. And if you are first time in the parade, just be warned.
Yeah.
It's an entirely different experience from on those streets than it is watching them from the sidewalks.
Bring your Xanax.
Yes, exactly. It is Mike Molson with you here on WMAY. We'll take a break for news. When we come back,
and talk.
Worse and worse.
I know, Homer.
Yes, it is Mike and Molson with you here on WMAY, and it's Friday, March 15th. 217-629-7970, that is the phone number. A lot being discussed about TikTok currently. We're not going to get into the political part of all of that, because we are your oasis.
Oh, why not?
We're your oasis in a desert of politics, Johnny. That's what we try to be on this particular program. But instead, we're going to tell you about this TikTok influencer who took to the platform because she wanted to extend a message, give a message to a possible bride-to-be that her husband-to-be was more than likely unfaithful at his bachelor party in Vegas over the weekend. Here, Tiana Wiltshire is her name. She claimed a man cheated on his fiancée at the MGM Grand Casino in Las Vegas. She went to TikTok and said, if your fiance just went on his bachelor trip to Las Vegas and was at the MGM Wet Republic pool yesterday, he cheated on you.
Oh, jeez.
She noted that another girl informed her of the infidelity and insisted she did not flirt with the man herself, but he was flirty with me and my friends. She says, I went to test the waters because I wanted to find out his Instagram so that I could DM you. And so I went over and I said, hi, where are you from, or whatever, and he was super flirty.
Wow, look at the sisters backing each other up.
She said, and I said, oh, are you the one getting married? And he said, supposedly, something like that.
Oh, man.
She then added that the man and his friends were wearing pink hats, and she believed to have found his Instagram, okay? However, she didn't want to use his username. Mm-hmm. In case I get, like, sued. So she was worried that maybe it's somebody famous, don't want to get sued. So she said it rhymes with cat schmadams, is what she said in the TikTok, okay. All right? Well, she posts this, and so since she didn't give the actual name, the internet being the internet, started doing some sleuthing of like, okay, what could cat schmadams rhyme with? So they happened upon the name Matt Adams,
right,
is what they think it ends up being.
And that could only be like one or two people in the country named Matt Adams, I'm sure.
Right.
I'm sure that's where this is going.
Right. Well, therein lies the rub. Because what happens is a woman then responds to this and says, please stop messaging us. She goes, my fiance's first name is Matt Adams, but he has not been to Las Vegas ever in his life. Please stop messaging us, to the point where they had to shut down their wedding's website because so many people were barraging it with, your man's the worst. You can't go through with this wedding. He's a big old cheater. You need to stop. And so they didn't want all the family members to see all this stuff. So they had to shut down the wedding website because of this.
You know, and there are times where I'm on the fence about banning TikTok, and then you hear a story like this and go, ban TikTok. Yeah. This is ridiculous. That shouldn't happen to people.
Well, that therein lies the rub, because people are saying while the intentions of this woman were good, she should have been more specific about it, or just left it at your dude with the pink hats, and not then said it rhymes with cat schmadams. They said that's where she should have drawn the line. So where do you fall? 217-629-7970. Was she doing the right thing? Should she have been more vague? Should she not have thrown out there, or should she have been more specific? Or should she have just minded her own business in general?
Yeah, I'm even on the fence on this girl taking it upon herself to, one of my sisters out there is getting cheated on and I need to fix this right now. Okay, but boy, you are stepping into a pool there that I don't know what you want to get into.
Because that's one of the things a lot of people were also clapping back at her of, like, okay, had a woman done this and you had found out, like, there's a group of females there on a bachelorette party and they're smooching with men, would you have then gone online and said, hey, bro, lady was at a bachelorette party, I saw her with whatever, you've been cheated on. And she said she would have done that. Now, we don't know for certain.
Yeah, never.
But 217-629-7970.
That's interesting.
It's one of those things of, I appreciate what she's trying to do there.
Yeah.
Trying to be there, to your point, for the sisterhood and warn a fellow woman of, you know, if it's happening now, it's probably going to happen later. But also, I feel like if it's happening now, it's probably happened beforehand, too, in that situation.
Yeah.
And it sucks, but I don't know. It's one of those things of, do you see something, say something? Yeah. It's much easier to just not get involved. But if you're going to, I think you have to be either overly general and not even throw out what the username may be, or be pointed and specific of, like, hey, here's the deal. Here's this guy. He's awful. You need to watch what you're doing.
I think if she wanted to do the sleuthing herself and figure
Correct.
It out and reach out to her, I could, you know.
That's true.
But to turn the entire internet against someone, and by the way, it turns out to be the wrong someone, we probably as a society in general shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe you're right. It's incumbent upon her to do the research first and maybe just DM the person right. that she thinks is involved instead of taking it to TikTok and millions of people. And poor Matt Adams from Ohio going, what the hell?
What'd I do?
Hi, you're on WMAY.
Now, did this guy actually have, relations with the woman, or was it just flirting? Because
well, let me point you a website where you can see that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're just flirting with someone, is that really cheating? And maybe he's just that kind of guy. He's, you know, nice to all women, and they perceive it as flirting, or he's a very flirtatious guy.
Well, there's our topic for the next hour, is flirting cheating?
It's cheating, yes. We'll take phone calls.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
She should have just minded her own business, too. Yeah. I mean, is it really going to hurt her?
Right.
You know, mind your own business, people.
Appreciate the phone call. It's a random stranger. Now, she did preface it by saying that she heard from another girl in her party that he had slept with someone already that she was hanging out with. So she was further investigating it by also going over there and trying to be, as much as she's saying, I wasn't flirting, by going over there to investigate, inherently you're going to be flirting.
It does sound like she was trying to set up a sting.
It very much so. It's like, where are you from? Oh, are you the one getting married? Like, and then he's like, supposedly.
And there is that question of, like, what would you do in this situation if you've got hard evidence? Like, oh my gosh, there's some woman out there who's absolutely walking into a storm of a life here with this guy.
Yeah.
Do you do something? But man, we love getting in people's laundry.
We do.
We can't help ourselves.
We really do.
And you go, don't talk to me at the grocery store. That just goes back to that.
And don't vague. Book, don't vague TikTok. Yeah. That's where things go awry.
Man.
Do your own sleuthing.
Ban it. Yeah. Ban it all. Ban it.
And DM people. Don't just throw it out there to the internet for poor Matt.
Unplug the internet.
Matt Adams in Boo-Foo, Nebraska. His entire wedding website crashed because of you and TikTok. It is Mike and Wilson with you here on WMAY. We'll take our final break of the 7 o'clock hour. And when we come back, there is a new gentleman who's thrown his hat in the... It is Mike Molson with you here on WMAY on this Friday, March 15th. The primary
is coming up here in Illinois on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we already know who the nominees are going to be for president, but there's other important things, I guess, on the ballot. Right? For the primaries? I don't know.
I'm sorry. I just spaced out there because I realized I got my mail-in ballot. I know. Mail-in ballot.
Look at you.
I haven't sent it in yet. I need to do that.
Yeah, you probably need to do that.
I don't remember what the date is.
But if you're looking for an alternative, right?
Because I want my vote to be stolen.
Yeah, you don't want that going on.
I want an immigrant to pick it up and scribble something else and then drop it in the mailbox.
And then someone sneak it in their parachute pants. All they're doing is buying hammer pants to shove it full of ballots.
Hand it over to somebody in the deep state.
You can't touch this. I want my vote for Aaron Rodgers and RFK Jr. to go through.
Please make that happen.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's not crazy enough. We need more crazy.
Well, here's the crazy thing. There is a new individual who is throwing their hat in the ring to be president, and they're actually registered.
Okay.
Which is important. If you want to make one of those votes where you're like, I'm going to make a stand, and I'm going to vote for someone besides the two obvious ones, they have to be registered for it to count. You can't go in. And we've talked about this before because we'll get to it here in a second. But the new presidential candidate is 67-year-old Johnny Buss.
Johnny Buss.
You know who Johnny Buss is?
I don't.
Johnny Buss is the vice president of strategic development for the Lakers.
Oh, okay.
His dad was Dr. Jerry Buss.
Gotcha.
He announced he'll be officially running for president of the United States. According to his campaign website, Johnny Buss writes, that sounds presidential, doesn't it, though?
No.
Johnny Buss?
Johnny Buss? No.
Johnny Buss? You know what, President Johnny Buss?
No, that sounds like
It sounds more
sounds like the evening guy over on the Top 40 station.
That's true. Hey, ride along the hits with Johnny Buss.
Dua Lipa coming up in just a minute here. I'm Johnny Buss.
I'm Johnny Buss.
It's 68 degrees in the capital city.
Hop on board. We're taking a tour around the rest of the Top 40 tonight with Johnny Buss. Either that or it does sound like a lesser bus system. You've heard of Greyhound Bus. Well, for cheaper, you can take the Johnny Buss, getting you where you're going to go. He says, I envision an America that leads with compassion, innovation, and most of all, integrity. An America where racial equality is not just an ideal, but a lived reality for every citizen.
That's so outdated.
Where our policies reflect our commitment to the planet and where education opens doors to futures bright with promise. Vote Johnny Buss. Obviously, he's the brother of the Lakers. Governor, they call it now, Genie Bus, instead of like the owner. He's registered as an independent candidate. So on Tuesday, March 19th, if you want to go and vote for Johnny Buss, you can. Because it's important that they have to be right. You can't just vote Mickey Mouse. And we found that out years ago. Was it in 2016 that we found the individual at hand?
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was, we were looking through of all the things of, in order for your vote to be actually counted for somebody, if you didn't like the two, you had to go through. And there was a gentleman, Roy Wayne Tyree, who had been running for president since 1992.
Yeah.
And we championed his cause.
Guy lived on the south side of Chicago, had some bananas platforms, like he wanted 13 months in the year.
And every month started with a Monday.
Right.
And it was 28 days. It was 28 days long. Every month started on a Monday and ended on a Sunday. And the 13 months.
So you only needed one calendar.
Right. And the 13th
month. He's already saving you money. He's not even.
And the 13th month was the month of Christ.
Right. Christ month.
Yeah, exactly. So Christ the first is when your rent was going to be due. And then we had the discussion of, well, what do you do at Christmas then? Because would Christmas be on Christ the 25th or would it be still on December 25th? But he was an actual, so if you voted for him, your vote counted.
Yeah, he was considered, he went through all the paperwork of being a candidate. He was up in the south side of Chicago, I think. And he was very diligent about writing out all of his platforms and what he believed. It was bananas.
We found a Google like street view of his home, and he was like Martin Luther. He had his 25 theses or whatever it was up in his cardboard in his window, what he stood for, and we couldn't get him on the phone because he didn't have a phone number. And it was all of a sudden, was it before the actual election day that the brown vanilla envelope ended up here, arrived here at the radio station?
Did you say vanilla envelope?
Manila.
Okay.
Maybe I said brown vanilla. I think I probably did.
I hope you did.
Let's go back to the tape. I'd rather have a brown vanilla envelope than a brown manila envelope. By the way, it's just manila, not brown and manila.
So he found out we were looking for him and sent us this packet of information, and we then spent the rest of, you know, it was like late October. This was the WMAY
October surprise.
Saying, you know what, if you don't like Hillary and you don't like Trump, write in Roy, Wayne, Tyree. And I think he got like 4 votes in Sangamon County or something.
Yeah, he got 4 or 5 because the thing we had looked through was because he had been officially running since 1992. Mm-hmm. And by the way, his claim was he was the constitutional president of the United States. So he was doing the Trump thing way before even Trump was doing it. Like, hey, I'm already the president. It just hasn't been acknowledged yet. We had found out that over the years, he had never gotten more than like 3 votes. Mm-hmm. And so we made it a credo on the show, more than 3 for Tyree. That's right. And we got him to like 6 or 7 in that particular election. Yeah.
Which
so
for Roy, Wayne, Tyree was a landslide.
And then fast forward, the biggest twist to this entire story was Roy Wayne then passes away.
That's right, he died
a couple years later. And all of a sudden, you got in your like Facebook Messenger inbox a message from someone who was his daughter.
Right.
Who asked how we had contacted him because she had been unable to get anything from him for years. And then on top of that, there was another different daughter that contacted us as well.
And she came in, right? She came into this.
Yes, we ended up having her on the air,
right.
And interviewed her about her father who had passed on, about his unsuccessful runs for president.
It's amazing. I was living in New Hampshire during a presidential primary, and you know, first in the nation, and so they're very similar. You can that's like $1,000, and you become a presidential candidate. And so there were like 73 presidential candidates on the ballot. I mean, it was ridiculous looking, but there were people who, you know, again, you know, there were people who believed in the lizard people, and there were people who,
right.
there was people who are like dead serious of I'm going to do this, and I truly believe I'm going to be. It's like RFK. It's like, dude, you're not going to be president.
Well, even Johnny Buss.
Yeah,
also
Johnny
not
Buss
gonna,
is not going to be president.
Cornel West
is not going to be president.
No, you're not.
But they go at it with this fervor of, I will do this. I will lead this country. And I mean, yeah, they never make it past their doorstep. But
no.
There's something about the passion about it
yes.
that is so fascinating to me. It's like, wow, you're serious about this.
Yeah, so if you want to on Tuesday, if you take the time to go to the primary, and Johnny Buss is the man to vote for.
Go.
That's 2 S's on that bus. So come aboard. Beep, beep.
Doot,
taking America by storm. Hop aboard the Johnny Buss. I think that's probably FCC fine. I don't think I can say hop aboard the Johnny Buss. We will take our final break. We have ABC News.
This may well prove fascinating.
This is definitely one of the more interesting lists we've found over the years here. It's Micah Molson with you on WMAY on this Friday, March 15th.
About time something interesting happened.
Yeah, it'd be the first, right?
Yeah.
So this is from Mental Floss, and this is a list of the 9 wild conspiracy theories about TV shows.
Huh.
So they've watched a TV show, and then the online community has come up with these conspiracy theories about the particular shows.
What did you say, Mike?
Conspiracy theory. I Sylvestered the cat there. I'm having a real great day. Vanilla brown envelope and conspiracy theories. I might as well just go and be Johnny Buss over on the...
You're doing fine.
All right, so here's the first one of these wild conspiracy theories about TV shows. The first one involves Saved by the Bell, of all things. And they say the conspiracy theory is that Bayside High is nothing more than Zach Morris's dream world.
Okay.
That the whole show took place in a dream state of Zach Morris. They say before Saved by the Bell was a staple on NBC's early 90s Saturday morning programming, it was a 80s Disney Channel teen sitcom called Good Morning, Miss Bliss. After a 14-episode run, Good Morning, Miss Bliss was retooled and repackaged for NBC. Some of the characters, including Zach, Screech, Lisa, and Mr. Belding, stayed on, while others went away. The setting was also changed from John F. Kennedy Junior High in Indiana to Bayside High School in California. As a result, it is believed that Saved by the Bell is nothing more than an escapist fantasy of its main character, Zach Morris.
Because it's his narrative? Is that the...
Right, because they say on Good Morning, Miss Bliss, Zach was, to put it nicely, kind of a dweeb. Mm-hmm. Girls weren't attracted to him, his classmates made fun of him, and Miss Bliss was always onto his schemes. But when Zach made the jump to Saved by the Bell, he was magically transformed to the coolest guy in school. Because of this, some fans think Zach manufactured his dream life in Southern California, creating a world in which all girls want him, his peers idolize him, and he gets away with even the most ridiculous plans.
Right. And who among us hasn't had that dream?
Correct. They say, according to fans who subscribe to this theory, Saved by the Bell's theme song perfectly illustrates Zach's fantasy world. The lyrics describe the humdrum life. By the time I grab my books, I give myself a look in the corner just to see the bus fly by, suggesting he'll be okay once he's saved by the bell or when he enters into his fantasy world.
I see.
Good Lord.
That makes a much more interesting show than it really is.
Correct. Because I came home a couple days ago, and the wife had a bunch of reruns of Saved by the Bell on.
It hasn't held up.
No.
It
didn't even hold up in its own time, no. Let alone now.
Yeah, it wasn't good in real time. It's not good to watch reruns.
Here's the next conspiracy theory from Mental Floss. And I'll have to post this entire link. You can read more about it at the Mike with Michael Show Facebook page. But this conspiracy theory is the Count feeds on the children of Sesame Street.
I want this one to be true.
The number obsessed vampire lures kids to his lair under the guise of teaching them math so he can feed on their youth. According to this theory, the count is why children who hang out on Sesame Street are constantly replaced. Apparently, Sesame Street's adult
not because they get older and they're just not on Sesame Street anymore.
But apparently, Sesame Street's adult residents are in on the count's dastardly scheme, too.
Wow.
Because in the decades he's been on the show, they've never made an effort to stop. I'm down for that one.
Yeah,
I want it to be true.
I do, I want a Count origin story. I want to see how he got to Sesame Street.
And how he set up all the people to be his accomplices. Like, what does he hold over them in order for them to continue to be in on the bit?
Yeah, like they've done like a Winnie the Pooh horror movie.
Yes.
I want a good Count movie.
Up next is that the Fresh Prince is actually dead. Some fans of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air are convinced that Will was dead for the duration of the show's 6-season run. Their theory fixates on the sitcom's opening theme song, which states that Will Smith was hanging out, chilling out, max and relaxing, all cool, if you will, when some guys who were up to no good came along. As the song goes, he got into one little fight and his mom got scared, then told him he'd have to move with his auntie and uncle in Bel-Air. But what if Will never made it to Bel-Air and instead died in the fight? These fans believe it was God who drove the rear cab to take Will to the Banks' mansion, in this case, heaven, which he refers to as his kingdom.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So the Fresh Prince is Jesus?
In this one? Right now, all of these shows are much more interesting than they were in their actual run. I mean, this is fascinating to me. If you watch it in this lens, you go, this is actually a pretty good show.
I'm fascinated by the individuals who had the time to come up with this and go into the depths of setting up layers. Mm-hmm. I'm not just like wildly saying, oh, they then go through the entire theme song and kind of nitpick and run the string theory going on.
And if you have a theory about a TV show, give us a call.
217-629-7970. Oh, we do have somebody who has a theory. We get to this phone call. Hi, you're on WMAY.
Hey, so I don't know if we've talked about this prior, but there was a theory about Billy Madison, and whenever he calls the guy that he picked on.
Oh, that's right. You have mentioned this, EJ, when he called Steve Buscemi in the movie, Glad I Called That Guy.
Yes, Glad I Called That Guy, and he has a huge list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now he finishes that list, gets caught. Now he's on Con Air.
Oh, that's right.
And then Con Air happens. Everything goes through with that. He escapes.
Yep.
And now he goes to a bowling alley.
Where he's Donnie from The Big Lebowski.
Okay, all right.
However, if you look specifically, every time he wears a bowling shirt, it's a different name.
In that
so
movie.
So the theory is that's one of his victims.
Okay.
And he basically, that's his trophy.
Oh, okay. That he would take their bowling shirts. Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I appreciate the phone call there, Irvy Jr., with the conspiracy theory that Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison is the same character in Con Air and Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting stuff. This one from The Office that says that Toby is the real Scranton Strangler. I don't know enough about The Office to actually get into that, but the Scranton Strangler was first mentioned during season 6 and was eventually caught after a long police standoff in season 7. Toby's fascination with the serial killer only increased when he was picked to be a juror on his murder trial. Eventually, the Scranton Strangler was revealed to be a character named George Howard Scubb.
Toby and his fellow jurors responsible for sending Scub to death row. During season 9, Toby is guilt-stricken when he admits that the jury might have sentenced the wrong man to die. He even visits Scub in prison, who immediately jumps to strangle Toby. So that's that Toby's an actual killer. Here's one that doesn't actually involve the show itself, but that the government was the one that canceled Firefly.
I've heard this.
Yeah, they say, although it had a loyal fan base, was generally well-received by critics.
They got it a little too right, huh?
Joss Whedon's sci-fi drama Firefly was canceled in 2002 after airing just 11 episodes. While Fox claims the decision to cancel Firefly was based purely on its low ratings, conspiracy theorists are convinced the U.S. government had something to do with the demise of the space opera.
Yeah.
The show focused on a group of independent outlaws who fight for civil rights under the oppressive and immoral Union of Allied Planets. According to the fans subscribed to the series, the powers that be weren't pleased with the anti-government sentiment expressed by the show. What's more, they point out while the show was airing, the Bush administration was trying to build a case for the Iraq war. It's no coincidence that it was canceled just 3 months before the invasion of the Middle Eastern country.
That's right.
Really? That Firefly had that kind of pull that they would cancel that?
And I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but I'm compelled by them. It's fascinating.
Yes.
How people get to where they get to.
Correct.
On certain things. And then, you know, something always happens. There's like an MK Ultra or something comes out where it's like, oh yeah, the government is kind of dirty.
Yes.
And, you know, and confirms one of them at least. And then yeah, you start going bananas in your brain.
The last few here on this list of the top 9 wildest conspiracy theories as it pertains to TV shows. Here's one. Gilligan's Island is hell.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they say some theorists believe that the setting of Gilligan's Island is not an island, but rather hell, and that its sinful inhabitants all perish in the crash of the SS Minnow. According to this theory, each character on Gilligan's Island represents one of the 7 deadly sins. The millionaire represents greed, mm-hmm. while his work-averse wife represents sloth. Sexy movie star Ginger stands for lust, while innocent farm girl Marianne is envy because she envies Ginger's beauty and lifestyle. The smart professor is prideful because he can't admit that he's unable to fix the ship or get them off the island. Skipper, meanwhile, symbolizes 2 deadly sins, gluttony and wrath, because he's always taking something out on poor Gilligan. Not that you should feel bad for the dimwit. These fans believe that Gilligan represents Satan. He's constantly screwing up the group's plan for rescue, and what's more, he's always wearing red.
Mm-hmm.
He's the devil.
That must be what it is, and he's hiding his tail.
Yeah, here's another one. The Flintstones takes place in a post-apocalyptic future.
Oh, like Planet of the Apes?
Yes, instead of actually being from the past, it's the future.
What's the clue there?
They say they posit that the world inhabited by the Jetsons is the Flintstones, and they exist concurrently. The Flintstone civilization was bombed back to the Stone Age during a nuclear war, and its inhabitants were forced to start over. That's why the Flintstones use the materials and animals at their disposal to mimic modern technology. Why would cavemen from prehistoric past need garbage disposal and record players if not to replicate the society that once was?
I see. Okay. A little too much knowledge.
A little too much going on there. Hi, you're on WMAY.
I'll see, the Gilligan Island thing ties into the Huey Lewis song. That's where you have the same people at the same address. I'm happy to be stuck with you.
Okay.
Oh, and you listen to that, and then you realize that they are the 7 deadly sins.
Interesting.
And you listen to the lyrics in that, and it's like, oh, I'm happy to be stuck with you. And it's like, the same people at the same address, and it's like, that's Gilligan's Island.
Interesting. Okay.
Fascinating.
Fascinating. Yeah, they're bound by, like, all the rest, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow, Huey Lewis in on this one as well.
Yeah,
appreciate the phone call.
Sherwood Schwartz was really hiding some stuff in there that we didn't even... He actually did. There was something in there. The SS Minnow was a dig at the chairman of the FCC at the time.
Oh, wow.
Whose name was Newton Minnow.
Okay.
And I forget there was something going on at the FCC that was bugging Sherwood Schwartz. I think that was like when they were starting to do the, you can't have violence on at certain times a day or something. So that was a dig at...
The last two on this list is that Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote is a serial killer.
I've heard this one too.
Yes.
I've heard this one too.
That she writes the mysteries but is actually the serial killer who disguises herself as a novelist and amateur detective.
Yeah. Too many people get killed in that little bitty New England town.
Right. She said, how else could Jessica Fletcher again and again randomly stumble upon a dead body and later on, quote, figure out who the murderer is?
It's like a town of 3,000 or something.
To your point, she lives in the coastal town of Cabot Cove, Maine, population 3,500. During the 12 years the show was on the air, 260 68 people were murdered, which would statistically make Cabot Cove the murder capital of the world. Either killers are flocking to the village, or Jessica Fletcher is a serial murderer whose gentle and pleasant British demeanor serves to throw people off.
I got to get on board with that one, because that's the only way that makes sense.
And finally, the last one is Breaking Bad is the prequel to The Walking Dead.
Okay.
It says Heisenberg's blue crystal meth responsible for the Walking Dead zombie apocalypse. At the end of Breaking Bad, Walter White, by the way, spoiler alert, blue meth is becoming more and more popular across the country, eventually making its way around the world. Some fans think that users die only to rise again in zombie form. Those subscribed to this theory point to the handful of Breaking Bad references on The Walking Dead. In season one, Glenn drives a red Dodge Challenger, which looks very similar to Walter White's car. Mm. When Walter White goes to return his Dodge on Breaking Bad, he takes it back to the dealership's general manager, whose name is also Glenn. They say in season two, Daryl Dixon is trying to bring down T-Dog, whose injury-induced fever, so he pulls out his brother Merle's stash of drugs to see if anything in the plastic bag will do the trick. Pictured clearly at the bottom of the bag, blue crystal meth!
You know, with all the spinoffs of the Walking Dead world it's just a matter of time before they put that link together.
So there you go. Those are the top nine wild conspiracy theories about TV shows. I will post that link later on the Mike Wimacher Show page. Thanks for coming along on that ride. And the two favorite ones, the Count is feeding on the children of Sesame Street, and probably the Murder, She Wrote one. Those are my two favorite ones. Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll be back here on WMAY with you fly quite frequently for St. Patrick's Day Parade tomorrow, stepping off at the top of noon. That's what I love about that parade. It knows what it is. Yeah, and that's why it's like, we're going to start it at noon. No need to start it too early. We'll let you pregame beforehand.
Yeah, and big respect to the bars downtown start rolling at 8 or 9 o'clock.
Yeah, good on you. And if you want a good parking spot, get there early, because it's going to fill up really fast. Or just don't drive. Just take an Uber or a taxi, probably the best way
to go. Even if you're on the west side, you probably got to just walk.
Yeah, just start walking now. You'll get there eventually. 217-629-7970 is the phone number. Frontier Airlines, which is always looking for a different way to make a dollar, right?
I did it once. I will never do it again.
Oh, my God. I did, too. You think they lure you in.
Yeah.
With, it's only $29. And then it's like,
it's not.
No, it's like $15 to hold your ticket and like another $25 to have a personal item and another. And by the time you look at and add it all up, the fees, you go
$98 for a seatbelt.
Right. And not only that, then it's like every 5 minutes they come on. If you'd like to join our credit card, it's like, I just want to sit in silence every 5 minutes.
Just want to remind you, extra points today if you sign up for our credit card.
So they have a new way of making money because their seats are so small. They are now offering, just for their Upfront Plus perk, you can now purchase the middle seat for a discounted price.
Yeah.
So it will leave the middle seat open for an extra, right now, $49.
Oh, okay. So you can purchase it to be empty.
Yes. So what you do is you can have the...
If you pay extra, we'll give you elbow room, is essentially what they're saying.
Well, my question is this, and 217-629-7970 sounds like a great idea, right? In theory, but is there still going to be somebody else on the other side of that middle seat that will maybe be able to take advantage of you purchasing that middle seat? Because you get to choose the aisle or the window. Now, it's just for the first two rows. They say the upgrade is available right now only for the first two rows of Frontier planes, with interested parties nabbing either a window or aisle seat. The airline notes that Upfront Plus passengers not only get a bit of extra elbow room, but also added leg room.
Oh, you just pointed out something that is going to cause a fist fight.
Correct.
A, because that's Frontier.
They are the Waffle House of airlines,
holy
right?
God.
You just expect that to happen.
So here's what's going to happen: is somebody's going to be sitting there and saying,
that's what I'm saying.
I paid for that. You pony up $40 because you're using it too.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
That's
what my issue is. 217-629-7970.
Oh my God.
Because in theory, it sounds like a good idea. I can buy that middle seat. The problem is there's somebody else in that row that may not have bought that middle seat.
He's getting your benefit.
Right. So if I walk in and I'm on the window and you have chosen the aisle and I start to lean in a little bit, and to your point, they lean in as well.
Yeah, you're on my property, sir.
Yeah, is that,
get off my lawn.
I paid for that seat.
Yeah.
How dare you lean on the elbow room of that seat, because that's my seat.
Can you imagine?
Because it's going to be, to your point, it's going to be a fist fight that's going to transpire because of it.
Yeah, you know, Spirit Airlines gets a lot of guff for also being a discount, trashy airline. And deservedly so. But, man, Frontier, that is an experience.
Oh.
A friend of mine, a couple years ago, they were doing, I think it was like during the pandemic, the scamdemic. Whatever they call it.
All right, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
you want to join? By the way, now the chief of staff will be Johnny Molson for RFK Jr. and Aaron Rodgers.
They were doing some sort of like, you know, for $400, you get an unlimited pass on Frontier Airlines for the rest of your life. You just show the pass and you get a ticket. And
that sounds janky.
Buddy of mine took them up on that, and so now he exclusively flies Frontier. It's like, it's not worth it.
No.
Even if you've made your money back on that $400, it's not worth it. A free ticket on Frontier is not worth it.
No.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like you're sitting in a plastic seat.
Yes.
You know, if you've ever been at a church basement and you're at a meeting or something and you're sitting in an uncomfortable, like, plastic and you can't quite, you know, moving around trying, you can't do it, can't move it back.
There's hardly any cushion.
You know, the tray is about the size of a coaster.
You get nothing. Exactly. You get nothing.
Yeah, they don't give you anything.
They don't
to
give
put
you anything. Exactly. Like,
but if you want to set your computer on there, you can't.
Can't do that. It's like, you want? I'll take a water. That'll be $18.
It's ridiculous. Like,
pardon me. What is that? That'll be $18, sir. And don't forget,
you
get extra points if you sign up for our credit card right now. It's like, no, I do not want to sign up for your credit card.
People line up at the gate already angry, and it just gets worse from there.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
This will only right now. They're just rolling it out for this introductory cost. It only on flights April 1st through the 30th. Frontier isn't spelling out how much it will cost after that, but the points guys, they tried to price out seats further into the future and found the cost to be dynamic depending on the flight.
Right.
In the example provided, a June flight from Atlanta to Tampa offers a standard tier seat starting at $24, while upfront plus seats start at $146 plus the extra $49 if you want the middle seat taken.
If you want to block the middle seat, wow.
Yeah. Is it worth it? Well,
no.
I think we've established
it's
not worth it. And I can't wait to see all the videos from people's phones of the first two rows having fisticuffs over how dare you, that's my middle seat, not your middle seat.
Yeah, someone's going to lean too far and break the barrier.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a midair fist fight.
Yes.
Over nothing.
Yeah.
Over nothing.
I mean, you understand what they're trying to do here, but it's not going to go the way they think it's going to go.
I would get on a Boeing Alaska Airlines flight with a loose wall
before I
get on a Frontier.
You know what? Did you see we're aboard Alaska Airlines? I talked about this quickly yesterday. We always talk about terrible airplane and airline jokes. The idiot on an Alaska Airlines flight that rushed the cabin and tried to open it three times and then said, I was just joking. Yeah.
I was testing you guys.
Yeah, idiots. But I'd rather be on one of those.
I would do that before I get on a free Frontier flight.
Once was enough.
Yeah, sorry for being such a snob, but oh my God, I can't do it.
I don't know if you can be called a snob or bougie if you're saying no to Frontier.
Oh, man.
I think Frontier knows what it is, and I think people understand what you're saying.
That's a brutal experience.
Once again, if you want to sign up for our credit card, you get extra 500 bonus points.
Yeah, and you're right about that. It is every 5 minutes a commercial comes on, and the poor flight attendants have to hawk those things.
They do.
Like they're begging for dinner.
You can
hear it in their voice.
Are you sure?
Because you know they get some sort of commission that's going to mean their rent next month. They are hawking it with that fervor.
Exactly. It's like you're watching a live infomercial.
Yeah. Like when the kids come by to your house and they're selling magazines so they can go on a trip. It's that kind of like, please, I need this.
Then they give you the sad puppy dog eyes of like, you know I work for Frontier, right? Please, for the love of God, sign up for the credit card.
Nothing good about it.
No,
oh, my gosh.
No, thank God we have the wonderful Breeze Airways here in Springfield and Allegiant.
You had a good experience with Breeze, it sounds like?
Yeah, yeah. Couple times.
Good.
We've had some decent experiences with Breeze. And
good to hear.
No muss, no fuss. So, yes. Give me Breeze, Frontier. You're going to, if you want to see a Royal Rumble happen and just get a pitch for a credit card and $18 for water, by all means, please go to
It'll
Frontier.
Happen on the first day.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take our final break of the show when we come back. We were supposed to start your time here on the show with Celebrity.
Now,
Micah Molson with you here on WMAY. Final segment of the program for this Friday, March 15th. Always fun and we try to be entertaining.
Yeah,
we have fun. I hope everyone else is.
Pass the time.
Yeah. It's not even fun anymore.
It's like potato chips. It's fine.
Yeah, that's true. We are, you know what? That should be our new slogan, potato chips of radio. We got the celebrity birthdays, so we got a lot to get through here. And Johnny's usually pretty good within about 5 years of coming up with that person's actual age. So a lot in the world of music. We'll get that out of the way first. We will start with one Terrence Trent D'Arby. We go straight to the wishing well guy.
Yeah.
Womp, 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 womp.
Terrence Trent D'Arby, 58.
62.
Okay.
Within 4 years. Well done. One of your favorites, Sly Stone from Sly and the Family Stone.
I love Sly. Brother Sly is great. 78.
81.
Okay. A little older than I thought.
Rockwell. The always somebody's. I feel like somebody's watching me guy.
Yeah. 64.
60. I'm giving you within five okay. years. All You're right. doing pretty good thus far. None other than Rock and Roll Jeopardy sensation and lead singer of Sugar Ray, Mark McGrath.
Mark McGrath, 58.
56.
56.
Did I tell you the Mark McGrath story about his appearance at Universal?
Please do.
That I heard through the grapevine? Yeah. So they're playing Universal Studios down in Orlando, Florida, and they're doing like this little concert series. And Mark McGrath goes, "Man, I used to be something back in the 90s. Now I look like all of you." Whoops. Way to alienate your crowd there, Mark.
Oh, Mark.
Another Mark from music, Mark Hoppus from Blink-182, celebrating a birthday today. How old is Mr. Hoppus?
51.
52.
52.
Moving on, Dee Schneider from Twisted Sister. He's not going to take it if you get this one wrong.
Yeah, and he...
It's hard to get a read on Dee.
Yeah, he's always looked older than he should.
Oh, God, yes. You know, even when they were in
their heyday, you go, you're a little old to be doing this nonsense, aren't you?
A little bit to be wearing shoulder pads and makeup, sir.
So I'm going to put him at 73.
69.
Okay.
Well done. Bret Michaels from Poison.
Bret Michaels from Poison.
And that's crazy to think, by the way, that Dee Schneider's almost 70.
Yeah.
When you put it in that perspective.
But it fits.
When you think about it, when you do the math, it fits. But.
Yeah. Bret Michaels from Poison is probably 64.
61.
Okay.
You're rocking it today.
How about me? Look at me.
Look at you go. All right. We got three more here.
Oh, jeez.
We will go with, this is outside the music realm now. Okay. We're going into entertainment. In fact, this guy's not even entertaining. He was just on the cover of romance novels. And also got hit by a bird in the face on a roller coaster, right? Fabio.
Fabio. Man, I'm going to have trouble placing this one.
It's a difficult one.
Yeah. I feel like he's 64.
63. All right, last two.
Okay.
Actress Eva Longoria.
Oh, I never tell a woman's age.
Yeah, no, that's especially a woman in Hollywood is a little bit more difficult.
But I think Eva Longoria is probably, is she 58?
49.
Sorry, Eva.
She hates you right now. You're doing so well. And finally,
she just has that, she has that cougar look about her.
She does. She does. That's a great question, too, of when do you enter cougar territory?
Right.
I think it has to be above 50, right?
I guess.
Or I guess it depends on who you're dating.
I guess
dating.
It's who you're cougaring.
Yeah, it depends on their coug. The coogie, the cougar, the coogie. Right. And finally, actor Judd Hirsch celebrating a birthday today. This one's gonna be more difficult than you would expect, I think. Anyway,
yeah, but I'm gonna put Judd at 83.
Just missed. Judd Hirsch today is 89 years old.
89, okay.
But he's still doing things. Like last year, he was up for an Academy Award for Fablemans. Speaking of the Academy Awards, by the way, something I didn't touch upon with the conversation with Eric Davis talking about the gags that hit. Spielberg was great.
Mm.
Spielberg, there was a bit that Kate McKinnon did about she thought she was presenting for Best Documentary with American Ferrera, a co-star from Barbie, and they were doing Best Documentary, and she was talking about how she thought the Jurassic movies were documentaries. And they're like, no, that dinosaurs aren't real. And she's like, but Dr. Spielberg, you've lied to us this whole time. And he just kind of looks like leers at the camera. And then she goes on to a line of like, well, if they're not real, who was I sending my nudes to? And then Spielberg turns directly to the camera and just points at himself like, me. And it was like, way to be, Mr. Spielberg. Well That's done, a funny sir. Gag. Yeah, so he did quite well. The Oscars had some pretty good gags in it. Speaking of good gags, Johnny, thank you so much for joining me today. Hope everyone enjoyed. If you missed any part of this broadcast, guess what? Mike and Molson, Too Good for Radio podcast, new episode later on today. And this particular show will be podcast next week as a bonus episode. So make sure, that's right, find it wherever you